Well, here we are on this Father's Day. And of course, Father's Day is not a particularly religious holiday, but we thought, let's take advantage of it anyways. Let's consider, what does it mean to be a father? What is it, who are some of the father characters we've learned from in the past? And so that got me thinking some about some of the fathers I saw growing up. Of course, like many of you, I grew up on, well, there was a little bit of television in the household. So there's some family fathers on TV series. Maybe you remember some of these going back. There was Andy Taylor back in the Andy Griffith Show. Remember him? Right, way back when with young Opie, right? Who was our next one? Right, Mike Brady in the blended family here, the Brady Bunch. How many of you watched a little bit of Brady Bunch along the way? Yes. Wonderful, you know, Mike Brady trying to make it all work, figure it out. He seemed like a good father figure. Maybe you enjoyed a little bit more of a different little style of comedy, and there was Archie Bunker, right? And his sort of gruff way of being dad, right? Or maybe more recently, for me, this was before I had kids. This was kind of one of those father figures you got to see a lot of, was Homer Simpson, yeah. You know, some of these fathers are maybe not the best examples of fatherhood. Maybe they're showing you what not to do. I don't know. Were there some other famous TV fathers that you saw growing up and think of when you think of fathers out there? And Father Knows Best, yeah. Toolman Tim Taylor, all right. Right. Who else? Abraham Lincoln, woo, he was a solid dad way back, absolutely. Oh, was it over here? The Waltons, Papa Walton there, nice, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of different images from TV about fathers, and you know, so we learned some of what to do, what not to do. But of course, the more important fathers, the more significant fathers we might want to pay attention to are in Scripture. And I recognize many of us here today aren't fathers. And so right now you're beginning to go into the checklist of the week's to-dos, the grocery list maybe, what are the chores? Stay with me. Because even though we're talking about fathers, and we're going to talk about a particular father in Scripture, what he shows us, the kind of characteristics and qualities that we see in him, are certainly, well, they apply to more than dads. They apply to each one of us as we are brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, co-workers, neighbors, friends. They are key qualities to being faithful children of God. And VBS kids, remember, we are all children of God, right? Right? Where's our VBS kids? Yeah, come with me. Stay with me now. We're all children of God, yes? Right. Earthlings was another way we talked about it. All right. Well, we're going to try and fill up some buckets today, and we're going to examine a key father figure in the Bible. Now, who are some of the fathers you think of in the Bible? Abraham. Who else? You got Noah, right? He was a pretty good carpenter, right? Built a few things with his sons. Who else? Jacob? Nathan? Oh, David. Right, David, Joseph, yeah. There's a lot of different father figures we could look at, but we're going to go way back into Genesis and look at the beginning of it all, really, with Father Abraham. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up with Sunday school songs, learning that there's that old song, Father Abraham. Anybody remember that one? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had, you can go on, yeah, Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord, right arm, right. And then you start going, and then you, after a while, your left arm, and then your right leg, and then you don't know, yeah. I don't know what that song was really all about other than we're all children of God. But it gets us into Father Abraham. Father Abraham, whose story begins in Genesis chapter 12. That's a passage you'll see up here. And it's the beginning of Genesis, of Abraham's journey. that is a long one through Genesis. It takes up a significant portion of the whole text. But here's where it begins. We're reminded, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," and yes, he was Abram, and then he was Abraham, so we'll just call him Abe, okay? All right. "The Lord said to Abe, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions they had gathered, all the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram, or Abe, and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." They're getting a preview, looking out over it all. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And from there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Now, this is just the beginning of Abram's journey. It goes on for the next 12 chapters through Genesis. And we're going to pick some highlights along the way and say, what does this tell us about a man of deep faith? Because that's why Abram, he begins it all. That's why he becomes a great example for us. He is the center point of three faiths. The faith of Islam claims Abraham as their father. Judaism looks back to Abraham as the father of faith. Christianity, we look to Abraham as the father of our faith. It's where it begins. And so in him we find this great character on a great journey, learning what it is to be faithful to God. So first I want to hold up, throughout this all, Abe is a deep, deep man of faith. In a time and an age when there are all these various false gods and idols all over the place, people are so confused. But somehow, Abe has this great connection with God. So much so that when the call comes, God gets in a conversation with Abe and says, "Look, Abe, I know you're settled. Things are going well. You've got family, property, livestock. You've got it all. I want you to pick it all up and to go." And Abe, he goes. He's this amazing example of obedience, of somebody who hears God's call and says, "Absolutely, I'm going. If you say it, God, I'm there." And I have to admit, I feel sort of sheepish talking about it. That kind of obedience is hard and surprising. I don't think I could be one of those that just says yes whenever God calls, but that's part of Abe's character. He is a man of obedience. I think sometimes I think of myself more like Moses. You know, Moses had a severe case of the yabbats. Have you ever had those? The yabbats? Yeah, if you're not familiar with this particular malady, the Urban Dictionary defines it this way. It says, "It's a classic law school studentism usually employed right before the speaker dives into an argument that has no sound basis in logic, reason, or this universe." Right? That's what Moses does often. He's out shepherding, trying to stay away from God. God shows up in the burning bush and says, "Moses, I got a job. You got to come back to Egypt. You got to free the people." And what does he say? "Yeah, but, you know, who am I, God, to go to Pharaoh and bring the people?" God says, "Okay, I get it. Listen, I'll go with you. My presence will be there. You'll have my power." "Yeah, but, What if they, I mean, the people are going to ask, what's your name? I don't even know your name. I don't think I could. God says, I'll tell you my name. I am who I am. Tell them that. He says, yeah, but, and on it goes, right? And I have to, I mean, I just have to fess up here. I feel like I had that kind of conversation with God a lot more than I have the obedient, yes, Lord, I'll go. Maybe that's a little bit of you and I here today, that we struggle in the obedience category. God's got a call for us, a direction that says, I want you to go this way. And we resist it and push it aside, a lot like Moses does, and throw up the yeah buts. Not Abram. Good old Abe says, all right, Lord, I'm all in. He doesn't even tell him where to go. Just the land I'll show you, right? Just the land I'll show you. And he goes. That's amazing obedience. And I want to be somebody who, at the end of my life, they're saying, wow, this was a man who was obedient to God. That's what I'm learning as I look at Abe's life. Second thing I want to hold up about Abe. He seems to be a guy who is so completely committed to family, devoted to the legacy of what God is trying to do through his family, right? He's committed to that legacy. God has given him a promise, a covenant, and said, I want to raise up your family, give you descendants upon descendants so that we can't even count them, so that you will be a blessing to the nations. Which seems a bit ironic since at 75, Abe doesn't have any kids, right? He has a little bit of extended family. His closest relative really is his nephew, Lot. And so we see a few chapters later on, Genesis 14, Lot has parted ways with Abe. He's gone to live in a different city, and the city is in trouble. The city is under siege. Foreign kings have come in. They've taken over. Lot may not survive. And Abe is so committed to his family, so concerned about the legacy and the covenant that God has given him, saying, you got to be a blessing. You're going to have descendants. Well, maybe Lot's the way this is going to happen. I got to save him. So he gets together every fighting man he's got in his family, his extended household. And he goes, raids that city, saves Lot. I go, whoa, that's commitment to the legacy. Have you ever thought about the legacy that you will leave? Will people say and look at you and go, wow, that person was committed to their family. They gave all they could to raise up their family well, to have a positive legacy. I read a book years ago called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. How many of you picked that one up along the way? Right, Stephen Covey, yeah. You know, it was a lot about business management and time management and all those kind of things. But the best advice I found in there was when Covey talked about living with the end in sight, right? Living with the end as your goal. Not the most immediate stuff taking place, but be thinking down the line, who am I trying to become so that when it's all done, this is the legacy I'll leave. And I have to say, it's so fun when I do memorial services, and I know those two words don't go together for you often, fun and memorial service, but stick with me. What I see is at the best memorial services where somebody has lived a full life, the people who get up and share about them, family and friends, they're not so concerned with about the job they took, the places they live, but what they celebrate most is the impact that person had on their life. The ways in which they infused in them love and joy and patience and goodness. Things like the fruits of the Spirit. People celebrate that at memorial services, and I think that was somebody who understood they have a legacy like Abe understood. And he did everything possible to make it happen. Committed to his family. That, friends, is a calling for us as we look at Abe's life. How are we committed to the relationships and the people around us and to the kind of legacy we will leave with them? One third piece here that I think is so crucial about Abe. I think Abe was a man of a powerful prayer. And you have to kind of massage it a little bit. Genesis 18, there is this encounter where three strangers show up to Abe's tent. And they are God in disguise. Think of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, showing up. And Abe is, again, a deep man of faith. He understands hospitality. They are strangers. He greets them into his tent, and he makes sure they make a good meal, and they enjoy conversation, have a great experience together. And then God is about to go on to destroy the city that lies not far from them because of its wickedness. And then there's this interesting little comment that God makes. It says, this is God talking, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. No, I have chosen him." Abe was, somehow he'd become this confidant of God. A confidant. It's a French word that talks about a best friend. Close ties, someone who you'd share everything with. Somehow, Abe is such a man of prayer that God's debating with God's self to say, should we tell Abe about the plans, what we're about to do? And then he does. Then God shares and he says, we're going to destroy the city. It's just so wicked. There's nothing good in it. And then Abe debates with God. I love this. He says, well, Lord, just little me, but I wonder, if there were, say, 50 righteous people in the city, would you destroy the whole city with the wicked and the righteous together? But you're a merciful God. You wouldn't do that, would you? And he says, no, I wouldn't do that. I would spare the 50. I would spare the city. He says, okay, well, what if there were 45? No, but I wouldn't do it. Okay, how about 40? He talks God down to 10. Isn't that great? Negotiates with God. He's such a man of prayer. He's just connected with God, and he talks him all the way down to 10. He says, all right, Lord, what if there were just 10 righteous people in the city? Would you spare the city? And God says, yes, I would spare the city. Now, it just so happens nephew Lot is in the city, and this is all connected. He's got to spare his family so that the covenant, the legacy, will live on. But in it, I see this great example of prayer, this man who just, there's nothing's off limits. He's going to bring it all to God. He's going to be bold. And I have to say, I hope I can be a man of prayer like that. I hope someday I might be able to negotiate with God somehow to really make something amazing happen. I don't know if that's going to take place or, Lord, we'll see. Okay. But it gets me thinking about my own family and our life of prayer. How have I lived a life of prayer in my family? And there have been a lot of silent prayers, a lot of prayers in my head as my kids go off to school. Don't say it. My kids are out here right now. I'm having an Eric moment. That's what they talk about when I get a little verklempt. When I think about all the different prayers we've said over our kids, but not nearly enough of them have been out loud. How can we pray over and for our children and our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters, friends, to be people of prayer? That's a powerful legacy. I want to be that kind of person. I'm not there yet. I didn't grow up in a household of faith. I didn't see it modeled. So I have to adjust and alternate and say, no, what is it? What should it look like? And so I'm still learning on that part. I'm still trying, guys. So we'll do some more, time and time again. These are the characteristics that Abe brings us. This man of deep faith who is obedient and committed to the legacy of the family is a man of deep prayer. I hold him up today, friends, not just for fathers, but for each one of us. Say, that's the kind of life to live and model our lives after. I pray, Lord, the Spirit would help us do that. Gracious God, on this Father's Day, we are in awe of you, of your patience and goodness with us, and we're grateful for Father Abraham, the example he leaves us, somebody of great obedience to you, who lives such a powerful commitment to his family and the legacy and And so we have been blessed. A man of deep prayer, connection with you. Lord, help us to become those kind of people we'd ask today. In Jesus' name, amen.